If the word witch makes you feel full of power and excitement, if you love personal development but loathe boring love and light conversation, if a sexy combo of witchery and inner work piques your interest, you're in the right place. Welcome home, Magic Maker, and welcome to Expedition to Soul, the podcast brought to you by the Sisters Enchanted. Let's do this Sunday coffee chat with me, Sarah. Good morning, everybody. This is your weekly reminder to take the time to plot your week ahead. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to do that. I'm going to remind you to plot that week ahead, to think about what it is that you want to do, how you want to feel, what's going on for you. Remind you of some cool resources in the Stay Magic newsletter. And also an interesting thing I stumbled upon as we get ready for an event coming up here. And I was doing some writing and creation this morning around money and women, which we're going to talk about also. All right, let's start at the top. It is Sunday. And my invitation for you is to each and every week, sit down and envision your week ahead. What do I mean by that? Take this very practical, mundane, boring thing that you want to avoid, this task of planning for the week ahead, and turn it into a vision casting exercise. So think about how you want to feel this week. If you set a intention for the year ahead, how did you want to intend to feel this year? We do have a new moon on Tuesday. I think it's really late at night, Tuesday into Wednesday morning, depending where you live. Actually, if you're in the US, it'll be the new moon will land on Wednesday evening. And if anybody happens to be watching in from like England, then it would be first thing, like very early Wednesday for you. Time zone math, not something I am the best at. Gotten better at though with all of my TSE work over the years. So anyway, we've got a Taurus new moon coming. And so for this week ahead, you can consider, how did you want to feel this year? How do you want to feel with this next lunar cycle? We've got on Tuesday, the new moon, Venus, Jupiter, Uranus, and the sun, all in Taurus. So that's it's a very stable energy, very like unwavering. But with Uranus there, Uranus is a planet that is wild. Uranus rotates like way on its side. And so that energy of flipping things on their side, unexpected, unpredictable. It's a great new moon to consider, you know, with Taurus, we think of pleasure. We think of cozy. So if you think of PJs, pajamas, right? And you might just wear like I just wear a t-shirt and whatever sweatpants as my pajamas. But Taurus vibes, Taurus energy is like the fuzzy slippers and the silk jammies and the fluffy blankie. Like that's Taurus. It's this like delighting in the senses. And so if we think of our stable everyday lives, how can we make those feel more pleasurable? And then what sort of needs to be upended to let that happen for you? What revolution has to occur in your life? What do you have to overthrow to bring that into the stable core elements of your life, to bring in more of that sensory, sensual, pleasurable aspects to how you're living? So think about your word of the year, if you had one, how you wanted to feel this year, and with the lunar cycle ahead, how you want to feel. And when you're visioning for the week ahead, you can keep those things in mind. Like what in there might you know already that's going to keep you from feeling the way you want to feel, or where might you hesitate? So for example, in my week ahead, so I've already done this, when I'm planning for the week ahead, I have a really jam-packed week this week. So I'm on this like 2 week long teaching sprint with TSE. We hosted an Expedition to Soul event earlier in the week. And then we've been hosting in our membership community, our annual Beltane event. And then we're teaching Born Magic live starting Tuesday. I'm also teaching holistic witchery in there, and I've got a new moon thing. So I'm on this like bender of TSE camera time. And so that's like every day. And then I have a doctor's appointment this week. My husband has a doctor's appointment. My kids have Taekwondo. It's one of my kids' birthdays. There's something else. Oh, I've got to take my grandparents to dinner. Obviously, work. I'm going on vacation, so I need to do all my extra work for that week that nobody else can do before I go. And then I leave on Friday for this 8-hour trek with our camper up to Maine. So I've got like a super full week, right? So all my non-negotiables, everything that has a time commitment that has to happen is on my calendar. So that's your first thing. What has to happen at a certain time? Work, doctor's appointments, just things that are, this happens at 3:30 and I have to be there at that time. That all goes on the calendar first. From there, you look at what time you have left and then what are your priorities for this week and in your life right now. So my priorities for this week are going to be work, because I have a lot of that to do this week, and getting ready for this trip. And then my kid's birthday. So that's it. I don't really have time to prioritize anything else. So if one of my goals was to like prioritize my friendships or go on a date with my spouse or clean my garage or something, none of that's going to happen this week. And I already know that just by looking at the capacity that I have for anything else and what the priorities have to be. So schedule it all in and then think about these priorities. And beyond those priorities, then what is there time left for? Is there time left for anything, you know? And often we way overestimate what we have time for. And not only time, but the energy for, the energetic capacity to do. So you might actually have time to go for a jog or exercise, plus clean out your fridge, plus do all this like overtime work, plus care for aging relatives or children or a neighbor's pet or whatever. Like the time might be there, but do you have the energetic capacity for all of that also? Because once you start to overburden your energy and your capacity for everything, that's when you start to get miserable and cranky and constrict your energy so that you're not in this like receiving abundant state, but you are in this everything is wrong and hard and no one's helping me and everything's just miserable state. So what time is there? And then what do you actually have the energetic capacity to be doing? And lean on air caution when it comes to your energetic capacity, because you're almost always going to have less than you think that you will have, in my experience. And that's an opinion, so that might not apply to everybody. But I do think for most people, we think we can do more than we actually can most of the time. So consider all of those elements when you are planning your week ahead. So my word for this year, or my phrase, how I want to feel, was unflinching. My actual word was don't fucking flinch. That's what's written in all my places. And so as I think about this week ahead and where I might, where might I get out of alignment with how I want to feel? And there's probably not, like when I look ahead to this week, not a lot that could get in that way. I do have a lot of work commitments this week. And so I could see where I might kind of start to hesitate or say like, maybe this is too much and we should pull back. I have a doctor's appointment that I'm a little uncertain of, that like I'm just doing something that I'm kind of 50-50 on the fence about. So I could see where maybe I could hesitate there. So knowing that, I again want to say, okay, this is how I want to feel. Here are some times that I already see that I might not feel that way. And then what do I need to do to reconcile those two things? Is it a time where I just let it go and see what happens? Or is there something I can do to stay how I want to feel, to stay in that energy? And what is that thing? And how do I then put that into my plan for the week ahead? So your planning for the week ahead becomes this vision casting for you, and what it is that you are going to do. And I love the idea of thinking too, you know, about your time, as I bring up every week. So I do believe firmly that time is your most valuable resource. It's the one thing that you can never get back, right? You can't get back time that's been spent. You can always get back money. You can always work on health. The time is gone. This minute I just spent, I cannot get back. And so starting with your time, from there, what else are you working on in your life? Is it relationships? Is it your wellness? Is it a hobby that you've picked up? Like maybe you really want to learn how to do something. Both my kids are learning to rollerblade this week. What is it? Is there a new hobby? And then put that in there. Like, where do you make the space for these other things that you value in your life and that impact how you feel, and how can you plan ahead for them? food is one that gets people like not wanting to cook after work or something. No one, in my experience, people don't stick to meal plans. Like, we don't take the time to food prep. And so instead of this like never ending battle of trying to do something you're just not going to do, this is where this ideate part of the five eyes that we teach comes in, this dreaming. How do you let go of how it could have, would have, should have been, and then dream about a way that works for you, a new way forward? And if you haven't found anything yet, then you probably don't know the answer. So if you just think and you keep thinking, oh, I should be able to meal plan, I should be able to meal prep, I should be able to make the grocery list and stick to it every day, I should have, you know, you're not. And so let go of those and open yourself up to a solution you haven't yet considered, something that's not been on the table for you. Because if something you already had available to you worked, it'd be working. And so that's where we dream, we ideate. And we're actually wrapping up that ideate energy of this lunar cycle today and tomorrow. So it's a great time to sit down and think about that. Like, what's not working and what's something I haven't yet considered? What's a new way forward? How can I make space to open myself to a possibility that I haven't thought possible for me, or that I just haven't considered yet? And just really thinking about how can you bring more ease to your life by taking this, really looking at this time that we think is so boring and mundane and points out all the flaws in one's life, and use this time as a sacred space. Light a candle, brew up a great cup of tea or coffee or whatever your favorite drink is, and put on your favorite playlist and create this, like the same way we just activated our altars yesterday for our Beltane event we're hosting. And how can you like activate the altar of your life, your energy, your home space, and then make this sacred space to really craft what the week is going to look like for you? And take that off of your energy so you're feeling more the way you want to feel. Your money too. Where are you spending your money this week? What's in alignment with your values and your priorities right now? And you know, what can you do to put more in there so you have more to put in the world or in for retirement or whatever it is you want to do? All right. So make a practice of that each week. This is your reminder for that. I didn't see you all last Sunday, right? I don't know. I did see you last Sunday. Yeah, no, we had Expedition to Soul last Sunday. Oh my goodness. So since we last had a coffee chat, so much has happened. So much has happened. We spent time with our seven of our mastermind participants just outside of Salem, Massachusetts for one day last week in this big old spooky house. And we did a Scorpio, or 2 weeks ago, Scorpio full moon circle outside, and we made candles and we did a ghost hunt in the house, and it was so very fun. And Team TSE, Team TSE members came out. We also had a video shoot, and Anna and I got to go to a wedding of one of our longtime community members. And it was just such a beautiful, beautiful week. And then we had Expedition to Soul. And like I said, there's just been so much going on. So that's nice to be chatting with you for this Sunday chat again today. Looking, I see the rain in the comments. It's rainy where I am too here today. It was so nice out yesterday. All right. So talking about money, we have two things coming up that you might want to know about. Tuesday, our Born Magic Boot Camp starts. If you're not part of that, that's part of the magical self-care experience too. So if you're in there, and then you have access to Born Magic Boot Camp. And then we have a free class starting May 20th, Mend Your Money Stories. And it's brand new. I've been putting it together and taking notes for a couple weeks, and I'm really excited to put it out into the world. And that's in celebration of our Conjuring Abundance Holistic Witchery Unit that starts in June. So one of the things we talk about on these Sunday chats is money, is money and planning for your money, like where you're going to spend it. And I find that something that trips people up with everything we're talking about here today is this whole idea of like having too much control feels restrictive, right? So you plan your whole week and then you feel like there's not space to breathe, or it feels overwhelming, or you feel like a failure because you're going to plan it and not look at it again. So you just don't do it. You know, I really believe that just the act of putting it on paper, even if you forget about it, slowly but surely, it is doing something for you. And you're also just bringing awareness to what you want to do and what you have space for. So even if you make the plan and you don't stick to it, which I'm guilty of also, you know, you have an awareness every single week of what it is you'd like to make space for. And the more you do that over time, you will eventually fall into a rhythm and a system that works for you. But just saying like, oh, well, I make a plan and never stick to it, I'm not going to do it, that's not the way forward. And it's the same with money. So I see Kathy sharing budget and financial tracking has been such a great addition to these Sunday planning sessions. Yes. So budgeting, that is like, that is the new, the B word, I think. And budgeting, I find is, I will be honest, I have never been a very successful budgeter. That could be my my Jupiter sits with my moon in astrology. I've got 5 planets in Sagittarius. I don't know what it is, but budgeting has never been my strong suit. Yet I have climbed myself out of tens of thousands of dollars of credit card debt, medical bill debt. I run a successful company where the bills are paid every month. Everyone gets paid. Never once in 10 years of self-employment, 8 years of TSE. And I had a contractor work with me in my last business too. I've never once had to say anything like, can I pay you tomorrow? Or there's not the money. That's never happened. It's always there. Sometimes it's been harder than others. And sometimes I've stared at that computer and been like, oh my gosh, if I ever had a wish and a prayer, now is the time to have a wish and a prayer. But I think that similar to time management, changing your relationship with how you relate to money. So that relationship and relating, how we interact with money is huge for people, is so huge for people. And also, again, figuring out what works for you. So not being restrictive, but having awareness around it. So something for me is knowing, like, I do know what our cost of living is every month. Like, I know how much money I have to have in order to pay for, like, we have a truck payment. We've got utilities, we have property taxes we have to pay, our homeowner's insurance, car insurance, cell phone bill, like stuff like that. You know, like I know how much that costs every month. And with work finances, I know what our team cost is every month. I know about what we spend on advertising and email, and I know those. So what I can do then is just knowing those like lump numbers, for me anyway, this is just for me, really helps me to, and I do daily check-ins with my money. So I know how much I need, how much is there, how much is there, and are they in alignment? And sort of like with time, you know, these are all things I need to do. How much is there? How much is available? After I put all of my commitments into a calendar for the week, how much is there for all of this stuff that needs to happen, and what has to go? And so I think that, you know, when it comes to money, certainly bringing the awareness to it first is what's so important. But what I want to talk about more so today, go ahead, definitely look at your finances. Some people really thrive on budgets. Like I said, I do. I see like spreadsheets coming up in the comment. I have spreadsheets, you know, that's where I have my, this is what it costs for us to live. This is ideally like what goes into this account every month and this account. And like my bank account has buckets so I can move money around. So it's not just sitting in one place and investments and whatnot. And it is all on a spreadsheet. I think that what I do is when I think like, oh, I need to check this and put money here and do this and follow the budget, I get super constricted in my energy. And it's just like, doesn't work for me because I shut down on it immediately. So, I think like finding the system that works for you is really, really important. But one of the things that keeps women in particular feeling, I think, really not good at money or shameful around money, or like we just don't want to avoid, we want to avoid it, really are the stories that we hold in our energy centers and the generational stories we hold around money. So, you know, we're all different ages and stages here in life. And I mean, it was like 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, that women were still getting access to be able to have credit cards by themselves, bank accounts by themselves. It was like the 80s that a woman could get a small business loan without a male cosigner. And so, you know, we've got a lot of money stuff, I think, that we don't even think about every day, just embedded in our energy. Plus two, carrying all of our visibility stuff that all the visibility stuff that impacts how you show up in your life, like whether you are wanting to speak up in a group or wanting to say something to your spouse, or you're wanting to put on an outfit that makes you feel like radically tourist sensual, but you would never wear it out of the house. Like, that's a visibility thing. And I think that money impacts, it's tied into that visibility, because what we perceive about money, how we interact with money impacts how we engage with the world, and what we think about money impacts how we engage with the world. So I found this study. It was Wells Fargo paid for the study. So I, you know, whenever I look, whenever you look at a study, figure out who paid for the study. That's important to know. So I have no new, I've got neutral feelings about Wells Fargo. I don't bank with Wells Fargo. I don't know. But anyway, so Wells Fargo funded the study, and they studied 3,000 something people. And here was what one of the findings. So there was a bunch of findings. Here was one of them. They gave the statement, "I'm more comfortable talking about my debt now than I used to be." That was the statement. "I'm more comfortable talking about my debt now than I used to be." Now, here's the interesting findings. The people they studied were people who work. So these were all employed people. And what they found was that women, as they climbed the ranks of their career, got less comfortable talking about their debt than they used to be. So they went backwards. Women started at 50%, and them said they were said that they are more comfortable than they used to be at entry level, 52%. So it went up a little bit mid-level, but then senior level workers, it went down to 46%, where men went up as they increased their hierarchy of rank. So what's so interesting to me with this is it really screamed to me of the blame, shame, guilt stories that women in particular hold in their lower energy centers, their root sacral and their solar plexus. Like this idea that a senior level woman working got less comfortable talking about her debt. Now, obviously, I am making assumptions. This is how I received this. This is not part of the study. We're transitioning into Sarah's tangent about this now. So we had a study. Now we're on Sarah's tangent. I just want to be clear about that with everybody. Never mix up a study with my tangent. But it's so interesting to me that as women like got more power, they became less comfortable talking about debt. When men got more power, they got more comfortable talking about debt. And I think that that is interesting, because it really shows, I believe, this is my belief, how women are like, well, I'm here, so I should be better at it. I'm here. I shouldn't have this. I just shouldn't have the debt. Like, I'm here. It should have been solved by now. I'm here. I should be able to do better, faster, stronger, like I should be, right? Where men look at money, I think, and value completely differently, and would be like, oh, well, I'm here. Of course I have this debt because I'm using it to make more money, or I have this debt because I used it to make this power move or whatever. And where women, like, just even when they grow, are shrinking in some kind of nonsense around, like, it's bad. Like, I don't know why else a woman would get less comfortable unless there was a negative emotion there. Again, I am putting my own tangent on this, but it tracks to me that if you are less comfortable, there is some negative thing associated with that. That, like, I'm making more money, I shouldn't be in debt. Now I'm less comfortable talking about it, versus the man who responded. Again, this was like 3,100 something people that they asked these questions of. You know, the men are more comfortable talking about their debt as they increase in power. And that's, I think, so telling for us as women around how we look at money, how we look at ourselves and power. Like, we gain power in one area, and then we offset it by shrinking in some other area. And we don't, every all of our power is not rising equally. And I think that that pertains to us here in the metaphysical world and the world of witchery, because it is, you know, throughout history, women who, mostly women, some men also, don't get me wrong, definitely some men. But when we think about the word witch, and we think historically, as we know historically, people who were tried for witchcraft weren't witches as we are today. They weren't people who you know, were doing full moon rituals and whatever. They were people just like you and me. People have practiced folk magic forever and for always. Christian people practiced what we would call folk magic because that's all they had. They had herbs as medicine. That's what we would call folk magic today. They had protective talismans like in their houses to protect them from evil spirits, right? That's what we would do. You know, people might do that today as part of a witchcraft practice. So we think of this word witch, and it's like we're claiming some power over being who we want to be, being authentic, having this relationship with the natural elements and the natural world around us and reclaiming some part of ourselves. But what does that matter if we're still shrinking our power in other places, you know? And what does it mean for us as people who are intentionally trying to cultivate this life we want to live with the full moon, with chakra work, with, you know, guidance from the tarot and our guides and our higher selves and our crystals and plants and like all this beautiful stuff that we do, all of the things. But if we are consistently still shrinking our power when it comes to something like money, and money really is the thing that we engage with. I mean, you engage with your relationships with people that you live with, right? Or the people you work with, the people you see in your neighborhood, your family members. But you engage with money each and every day. My husband and I joke, like we can't open our front door without spending $100, it seems like, between groceries. You know, we got two kids and medical bills and car stuff and whatever. It just seems like we joke. We open the front door, there goes $100. There goes, we breathe the breath of air. There goes $20. We just had to pay something probably for $20. And so you're engaging with money constantly. So if the one thing outside of humans and our own selves that we're engaging with constantly, we are shrinking from, what does that tell you about your energy everywhere else in your life? Like the amount of energy that you put into shaming yourself, blaming yourself, stuffing down, hiding away, staring at a spreadsheet or a piece of paper with all your stuff on it or a pile of bills, or the amount of energy that goes there that could go into the Taurus new moon intention that you're about to set, or how you want to feel this year, or just feeling better in your life, just shifting that power to something that would amplify all the power as opposed to giving this shrinking thing power. Right? What could life be like if we switch that around? And I think that there is a lot of work for us to do there. And when I saw this study, I just wanted to scream at something. I don't know what. I just wanted to scream at something. And that's our perception of debt as this like big, bad wolf thing that we shouldn't have. If I didn't have my student loan debt, I mean, what I do today, I have a bachelor's in English with minors in women's studies and psychology, and then I have my master's in education, and that costs a lot of money. And I did all the student loans, and am I happy I did that with the money? I don't know. It's not my best use case for money, probably, but if I didn't have that debt and do what I did, the path wouldn't have led me where I am today. Like I wouldn't be here if every single one of those steps didn't happen. The credit card debt that I had, I worked two jobs, like 80 hours a week for months on end to get some headway going there, and continued to work two jobs even when my regular job paid me more money. Up until I had kids, I worked two jobs. And when I had my first kid, I worked my business plus started the Sisters Enchanted. So I'm no stranger to making ends meet. But I think that if I didn't have that experience, though, I wouldn't have been primed to be able to handle finance like I handle it now. And times where I've had to move money around and make things happen, that's always led to something good. So when it comes to things like debt and the shame energy that we feel around it, which is what I'm seeing in this study, it's so interesting because it's just a perception of it's definitely a perception to have that it's like something that we've done that's bad and bad choices. And there are, when you shift the energy to like, oh, okay, I see what I did there. Let's do something different. Let's get out of it. Let's just pave a new path, you know, let's move it forward and take back the power that that has over you. And it's so interesting to me that the women who are growing in leadership power are losing their confidence and their comfort level in talking about something like debt. All right, let me go back here through the comments and check in on what is going on here. And I see the budgeting. Beth says, been quite the spender lately. Need to get my butt in line. Not in frivolous, but biggies. New furniture, annual pet vet, adopted new fur baby. Yes, yes. The things they keep at. That's what I mean. You can't open your front door without spending $100. Can you make a budget? Pretty good at sticking to it, knowing where the money goes. Hubby, on the other hand, is an impulse buyer. Wants something, he gets it. Talk to him about it, he listens, and he does what he wants anyway. So budget gets adjusted. Susan, my huge vet bill recently and appliances decided to stop working. Ah, Susan, you and I must have had the same Mercury retrograde. We needed tires on two cars. Our TV broke in our main living area. Like, it died. We tried, my husband bought a part, tried to repair it, and it was done for. And we had to replace something on our stove burner went out, and my husband had to replace that too. And it was like all at once. And I had my 16-year-old Peter cat, my cat, he passed away too right before this, and that was a big vet bill. So it was like boom, boom, boom. What is going on here? Martha just retired, trying to figure out my new financial goals and restraints. That's like a new puzzle to put together. New puzzle to put together. Melinda says we have to stop giving power to how our parents spoke about money. Yes. Oh my goodness. If I had a relationship with money like my parents do, I don't know. I wouldn't be. Well, I did at one point, and I learned a lot from it. But I definitely wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't change it. Annette spent $30,000 on a new roof. Yes, yes. Always being prepared for those things. Karen floats through, knows it will be there. That's very much my husband's. My husband is he is not a man who worries about money, which is sometimes makes me have my heart palpitate. But Barbara, daughter's wedding next year. Since coffee chat's been checking my money nearly daily to not overspend. Great practice. Yes. Oh my gosh. I check my money every day, every morning. I check all the accounts and just I'm like, okay, how are we? How's things going today? Melinda paid $15,000 for a new AC. Yeah, you live in Texas. Definitely a necessity. Definitely a necessity. Budget shifting. Yes, budget shifting. Let's see here. Tanya says assumptions we make about what others think, like I'm successful, so everyone expects me to have it together. Yes, exactly. So much truth to that. And I know that I've been a victim of that thought before too. Like, it's only something like 5 or 6% of female owned businesses will ever make over $250,000 a year. You know, Sisters Enchanted, like we've been in that category for since year two of the business. And so sometimes I think that, but then I can see myself think, oh my gosh, don't tell that to people because what will they think about you? Or they'll think you like live on a bed of gold bars, but like, I don't, I have a whole business to pay for. And then I think, well, maybe what does it say about me that I don't live on a bed of gold bars? And your head can do this whole mental like inner dialogue turmoil very, very quickly. And I think bringing the awareness to it is what's helps us say, this is not a power thought. This is not a witch thought. This is like a broke thought. What would a witch do? What would a powerful person do? And then shift the way that you're thinking to how you want to feel and then take action accordingly, right? Tony says, yes, women were made to take care of others first. Yes. So they feel guilty spending on themselves. For sure. Polly has an accounting background, still struggle with addressing my own money matters. Women feel guilt about debt. For sure. For sure. Catherine says women have to seem they are in control of their extra power of money, whereas men see the extra debt as another thing to brag about. He makes more money, so he has more expensive toys. Men get more in all areas, whereas we almost have to hide our more in one area. Yes, Catherine, such a shift to happen there. My husband doesn't bring an income into our family. It's always interesting whenever we go to buy something that's like a purchase, something that costs money that you got to like sign a paper for, or, you know, I don't know, like a significant amount of money. Everybody always looks to my husband to talk to him about everything. And then I'm like, y'all, I'm the one. I am the one, but they never think to talk to me first. And it bugs me. Kathy has a finance degree. Since I've gotten very brutally honest and compassionate with myself, I accept I've got some debt that has got to go. Where there's a will, intention, and attention, there's a way. Yes, 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 for sure. Megan's had to really face money, spending on me versus spending on others, guilt versus no guilt. Mm-hmm. Yes. Teresa says, master juggling to pivot and carry on. I think that was that moving money, right? Yep. Judith was in college when women could first get credit cards. So you remember that, got more money. I don't talk about it mostly because I make more than others in my life. Yes, that too. The guilt that comes with making more money. And I have been a victim of this also, because I will say that I earn more money than anybody in my family has ever earned. And it can give me an edge of guilt of like, should I just take care of everybody? Do I have to pay like every time we go out? What does that look like? And having to release that guilt and responsibility is a pretty big, that's a hefty task, but one that's worth it for sure. Renee's mom lives with her and is always complaining about money. It's exhausting. Yes, I will tell you that I get in my personal life, the more like constricted money talk I hear around like can't afford, or like, I don't know, like can't afford language, I have a pretty low tolerance for. And there's things I can't, like I can't afford, right? Like I can't just go buy a vacation house with cash money. I can't just go buy, I don't know, there's like so much stuff I can't just go buy. But when I hear this, like, oh, well, I can't afford that, what it does, I think, to a person's energy is it reminds you that like, I think it sets off this domino. I don't really like the word trigger, to be honest. I try not to use it. I think it's an overused word in our vocabulary. But it sets off this domino effect of like, oh, I can't afford it. Man, I'm losing out. I wish I could afford it. I'm jealous because these people can. I'm guilty and ashamed because I can't. So instead it's like, well, that's just not our priority right now. So I try to, and I really think it's all about words. When we think about spell crafting and we think about manifestation and we think about being a witch and how we want to feel, the words that you say are spells. So if you're saying every day, no one helps me, no one's going to help you. No one's going to help you because you are literally just putting that energy out there. You are a magnet for the things you're saying. If you say, I can't afford it, you know, maybe you can't, like realistically you can't. There's so many things I realistically cannot afford. And so I say, that's not what we're doing right now. It's not a priority right now. It's just not what I'm spending my money on right now. I'm spending it on other things. I'm spending it on food or like, I don't know, something else I want to spend it on. But just really saying it's just not a priority right now. I think that small shift can also help you bring awareness to what is a priority. So it's really quite, quite powerful to just change the way that we talk about what we're saying. Karen's hubby's in the hospital, found there's still water in the basement, house fan motor, hottest day of the year, called electrician, basement, waiting for response. Oh yes. Oh my goodness. We get water in our basement, Karen. It is the worst. We run a dehumidifier all the time. It runs 24/7. So just let me see if there's anything. Well, so, Cynthia says, sad how many look at the man as being the one who is it. Yeah, double look when there is no man to deal with it. Buy car, speedy item. Yes. Let's see here. Vicky, same. I'll say that all the time. Never looked at it that way. Yes. Kathy says, this will be an episode that gets replayed a lot. All right. I'm going to just scroll. I think I'm done reading comments for this exact moment. Yes. So much around money. And I think how we should spend it, what it should look like. And I know that I've struggled with this too. And like, this is just very, very vulnerable and transparent to say, cause you know, it's strange sometimes as I'm the one on camera and I feel like how much is too much to talk about. But when it comes to money too, with women and that guilt and shame piece, which I think so many people can resonate with, I struggle with that too, as the owner of the Sisters Enchanted. And we have a sizable team here, you know, and everybody gets paid a living wage. And I'm really proud of that. Many companies online, if you buy from other online education companies, I can almost guarantee you that they have a virtual assistant from the Philippines. That is industry standard. We don't. I'm not saying we never will. To this day, we don't. And again, not saying I never will. This is not like a judgment. This is, it's definitely been discussed, but so far that's not something that we do. And I often think like, oh my gosh, how can I give more to other people? And it's that like guilt, wanting to mother, wanting to take care of, give away, because feeling like it's bad that I have all of this. And I've had to do a lot of work around that, because the reality of the situation is at the end of the day, you know, when you think about where you are in life, you have responsibilities that other people just don't have. Like, I have all legal and financial responsibility over the Sisters Enchanted. No one else has to go to sleep with that on their shoulders at night. And so the work I had to do, my inner dialogue to say, it's okay, Sarah, to get paid a certain amount of money because of this extra part that you always shoulder. And the guilt and the shame that I think we can hold in our energy centers around money will keep you just being less, making less, doing less, like at work. So if you work for somebody else, going to a meeting and instead of saying like, yeah, I did that, that was my decision, where's my bonus? Instead of saying, oh, you know, well, it was a team effort. Everybody worked really hard on it, even though like you're the one who did the project, so everybody else got an A. Like, you know, those people in high school, they did all the work, everyone got an A though. I was that kid. So that's been with me forever. And I've really had to sit with that and say, you know, where is that coming from that I feel obligated to make sure everybody else is okay? When that's actually not my job. And so when you work for somebody else to say, like, take ownership, I did this awesome thing. Look at what I did for your company. Look at what I did for this whole team. Where's my equal compensation? And building that into the discussion. But if you feel like, oh, I shouldn't say that. Who am I to shine a light on myself? I'm going to shrink down. I'm going to dumb down. The same with like calling a bank and looking for a lower interest rate. We just think like, oh, I don't want to be thorn in someone's side. I don't want to be that person. No, freaking be that person. Be that person. Nothing I love more than a team TSE member who comes to me and is like, Sarah, look at this. Look what I did so that you can give me a raise at the end of the year. And I'm like, yes, let's do that. I love the evidence. Give me all the evidence. Let's have the conversation. And I think that as women, really having to take away this, I didn't want to be a problem. I want to just not make other people hurt and suffer. And then, or like make people feel bad. It really keeps us being small and not truly in our power, not truly in our power. And then this whole negative thing we have around money too, about like that, I'm totally just on a tangent now, that money's bad and evil. And like people do really bad, evil stuff with money and for money all the time. Like I think that we all are very well aware of that now. And though when you have like money, love it or hate it or love it, money does give you an amount of edge and power that you just don't have without it. Whether that is choosing to buy a certain brand because you don't support the values of a different brand, but the values you do support cost a dollar more. So you have more money, you can buy from the brand whose values you support. You know, like putting money into organizations you support, being able to work 5 hours less a week, and then you can use your time volunteering for an organization you support because you make more money, right? Like all of those things, all of those types of there's so much you can do when you have money on your side, and you can do good with money. And this idea that like money is the root of all evil, I don't know that that's true. I think people, we're the root of all evil. And then what you do, money is just another tool. Money is just another tool. What you choose to do with it is where the power comes from. And again, that power is coming from you. You are always the power source. You're the power source when you light a candle. You're the power source when you dance under the full moon, when you hold a crystal. You're always the power source. So if you look at money the same way, with the same reverence that you look at this beautiful candle that you want to light for a festival or a crystal that you want to hold under the full moon, money is not actually different. It's what you, how you choose to project your power through the money, I think, that allows you to, you know, put out your heart into the world through a way that impacts the world around you. And, you know, and you can do really awesome things with money, really awesome things, and do fun things too with money. I've been able to do so many fun things and give back to people in my life who helped, like my parents, you know, like take my mom to see plays and musicals that, you know, I'm happy to do that because I can, and it makes me happy and it makes her happy. And I can also donate to organizations, and I can, choose how I pass on those money stories. Like I grew up without money. My children are blessed that they You know, we always have food on the table. We didn't, as a kid, Anna and I, how many times we shared one pork chop and like a can of green beans. I can't even tell you, between three people was our dinner. My kids have never had to experience that. And also, I get the honor to tell them that I won't buy them things. They are 6 and 9. If they want so an app that costs $10, I suggest they do a job around this house and invoice me for $10. Because I'm not paying for it. So, you know, I get to also choose how I pass on the power of money and where it comes from and the stories. Anyway, I should be done now. Now I'm just going on and on and on. But so think about your week ahead and think about your time as this resource, your money as a resource, how you feel in your body. All of this is the power center of everything you're trying to create in your life. And we've got this beautiful Taurus new moon with all of this energy in there on Tuesday and Uranus in there to really say, like, yes, stable is wonderful, but what needs to be destabilized so you can have more pleasure in what's stable? And probably your money stories are some of those things, probably some of those. And yeah, and I know, like, I see a comment here. Is it Mariah that, or is it Mariah or Mariah, working in a union, and that your work is more valuable than your pay? And there's totally these, like, you know, I have family members that work in unions. My dad always worked in a union. I have another family member who works in a union, and there's totally these teachers. I was a teacher, teachers union, and your pay is set, right? And I think that those are, I think those are great reminders of making choices too that are in alignment with our, with what matters to us. So my, I have a family member who works in a union, and the pay scale is like structured per, you know, it's set. Like, there is not, I like, let me ask for, they can ask a raise, but to your point, then like everybody has to, everything has to shift. And so that person though feels very comfortable in that position because of the benefits that they get. They get like all the stuff that comes with it. They like that for themselves. And I think that those are moments to say, like, well, I'm making these choices because I like this part for myself. And then when it comes to money, though, I we can still diminish ourselves by what we could be doing to still expand what we received in. So this was where it comes to, like, how do you get buy back your time so you can do things you love? How do you start a little side hustle that only takes like a couple hours a week or a month, and then you get a little bit extra to do the thing that you want. But that's where the energy management comes in, because if your energy is completely leaking out and you have nothing left, then we can't do that. So then we've got the time, we work on our time, we look at where's the money going, is all this in alignment with where I want to be, how I want to feel. I'm knocking over tarot cards. And then how do we start to put all this together into the puzzle that creates our tomorrow, not the today that we are facing because of X, Y, and Z circumstances? And that's the framework we teach in holistic witchery. So, you know, all right, let me just the Stay Magic newsletter. Some of you probably already received it, and I saw a comment earlier. You might not. Anna sends the it to current students separately than the other one goes out. So if you didn't get it yet, it'll be hitting your inbox. And in this week's Stay Magic newsletter, there is a ritual, Taurus New Moon Revolution ritual that I wrote for you. So you can find that in there, a little something you can do on Tuesday or any time this week. There's also a 5-Eye template for Mother's Day, because that is in a week, right? I think here in the US, I'm pretty sure it's in a week. And the template is not just for mothers. It's not, it's for the energy of Mother's Day. So the 5 Eyes, that's what we teach in holistic witchery. And you just pick one from each section. There are directions in there, but a really good way to consider your energy around that event coming up. And of course, podcasts and whatnot to check in with. The Mend Your Money Stories is happening May 20th, Monday through Thursday that week. Martha says, found your group community. Grateful for this. Board Magic Boot Camp be the best option to join. Or am I hearing? Not sure. Yeah, Martha, we've got a couple of, we always have irons in the fire. And Martha, if you are not sure and you want to explore options, if you email us at magic, MAGIC, at thesistersenchanted.com, or just reply to any email that you get and it'll all land in the same inbox, Jenna can let you know like what's cooking for the this week ahead, and what, so you have all the options laid out for you. We do teach our Born Magic Boot Camp and Magical Self-Care Challenge. That's together, and we teach that. We're teaching it this year on and off. So you sign up once and you just participate during the year. We also have our Holistic Witchery Program, which is our, that is the thing that, you know, it is an investment, and it is the thing that I think is absolutely life-changing if it's right for you. It's not right for everybody. But our Conjuring Abundance unit kicks off in January as part of that. And so you will be hearing more about that coming up. And then we do have a membership that we typically keep that registration pretty locked up unless we are in an enrollment for it. Cause it, we have found, we've been hosting that for 7 years. And when people sort of plop into it, they tend to get overwhelmed and don't super love being overwhelmed. And so we find when we bring people in all at once, we have a better outcome for the community member to enjoy what they're actually doing. Let's see here. Oh, and Regina is, would love to get it already. Yeah, Regina, I don't, it might have sent. I'm not sure. I'm not the one who sends the emails. So it is possible that it's sent and there's a delay. We do, when we send emails, because we are like, there's a server, it's a software. If there are a lot of emails going out from the server, sometimes they just get locked up in server land. So there is on occasion that like we'll send an email at 8 a.m. and the last one doesn't deliver till like 1 p.m. and we have zero control over that whatsoever. So I don't know if it's sent, and it could have sent, and that could be the case. Fun fact, you know, small business owner, when we send emails, if it's like Mother's Day weekend, like when we send next Sundays, or oh goodness, Thanksgiving weekend, don't even get me started. Those we schedule those days in advance so that they're queued up, because they will get backlogged and send days late after we've already sent them. So, so much that we can't control in the internet ecosystem. And also, if you are hearing this and you get the newsletter, be sure to click through the link in the email. You know, we are a small business, and if people don't click links in the emails, then we end up in your spam folders, your promotion folders, and so it is very helpful if you just reply to an email or click a link in an email, and it lets Google in particular know that you know, y'all don't hate us. So there we go. There we go. Let's see here. Just coffee chat, Renee. This section of the circle group is visible to everybody. I'm not sure that you can't become a member of the circle community unless you're registered in one of our classes. So Heal Like a Witch, that free class, it's in Teachable. If somebody registers through there, and then they can click a link to the circle group, and they can, that'll let them see the event schedule and whatnot. It's a little bit of a, all this is like tech stuff that we meander on the back end each and every day. Every single day, some kind of tech nonsense that we gotta loop through. Let's see. Oh, April, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I hope that you take some time for yourself and let whatever has to come up here. It's for you this week. All right, y'all. I'm going to go ahead and end this coffee chat. I was like, we're going to shoot for a half hour. It's been an hour. And I'm going to go, I don't know what I'm going to do. Stretch, stand up, and work on some cool stuff that we have coming out this week. And so I guess that's it. Born Magic starts Tuesday if you want to take part in that. And then the Mend Your Money Stories is the 20th. And we actually will not have coffee chats the next 2 weeks. I will be away. I'm taking time off. So I will not see you for the next two Sundays. But I've got different lives in the queue. If you're in the classes this week, Born Magic, I'm teaching this week, Holistic Witchery, Enchanted Journey, I'll see you in all those. And then on Monday, the 20th, I will be rip roaring ready for our Mend Your Money Stories, coming up that week. All right, y'all, have a great day ahead. Thank you for being here. Plan your weeks, take control over that before it takes control over you. And I'll see y'all around. All right. Bye. If you love the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. That helps us to get the word out about all we're doing here at the Sisters Enchanted. Thanks for being part of our community, and we'll see you in the next episode.